do have intentions of not going extremely long today. It's already 10:45, and I have a one-point message today. So how about we do this? I give you the one point, and then we just go. There was almost like too quick of an agreement there. I'm a little nervous now. But here's the one point. You can take and open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you should become weary and discouraged in your very soul. But this is what I want to say. This is the one-point message today. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. I believe that one of the primary goals, one of the primary responsibilities of fathers is to get your wife and to get your children looking to Jesus. Let's just keep it simple. As a dad, one of my greatest goals, one of my greatest opportunities, one of my greatest responsibilities, one of the greatest commands, that's how I receive it. I'm trying to find words to describe it, is to point my family to Jesus, to get them to see Jesus, to get them to know Jesus and how he is. And in saying that, you might ask, well, how do you do that? As a dad, you open up your Bible in front of your children and you teach them Jesus. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't also put this in there. And when your Bible is closed, your walk shows what you just showed them. Amen? We live Jesus in front of our family. We live Jesus in front of our wife, in front of our children. And we keep pointing them. We keep pointing. How many of us in here have times in our lives when our focus, there are a lot of things that scream at us and want to bring our focus over here? And as a dad, as a father, it is my responsibility to keep here. This is Jesus. This is my foundation. This is where we go in these circumstances. This is what we do. This is who we look to. This is how we are. What I find in the Word and what I learn of Jesus. I have different verses of Scripture for my children, different verses of Scripture for my wife and my relationship with each and every one of them. For Vaughn, one of the verses of Scripture I have for him, that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal body. Vaughn and I have a connection with that. God gave me revelation on that verse of Scripture for Vaughn. You know, I just love God. Vaughn and I, when he was little, he had epilepsy. And God totally healed him. Blew the doctors away. The doctor said, when we told him about how the seizures were happening, the doctors, we told him, well, they come on, and kids holler, we run, we pray, and we take authority in Jesus' name, and those seizures, and within about 10 seconds, they're over. And then I said, you know, they used to happen this frequently, but the more we pray, the frequency gets farther and farther apart, and the intensity gets less and less. And the doctor went, wow, that's the opposite of what's supposed to happen. Who is Jesus? Looking unto Jesus, our healer. Amen. Amen. Caleb's got a healing of testimony, psoriasis of the scalp and stuff like that. I'm not going to take time to go into it. But almost everybody in our family has a testimony of that. I mentioned earlier, check for $10,000. Jesus, God, he's our provider. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, opening the Bible. We had Bible studies every morning, every school day morning for a half an hour. Sat down, we'd open the Bible, we'd listen to Christian ministry on TV, but that's one of my jobs. Pointing my family to Jesus and stay pointed at myself. Old phrase from a dear friend, More things are caught than taught. More things are caught than taught. Take your Bible with me real quick. I've already skipped 6 verses of Scripture. That's going to help us get done. How many of you know what I mean when I say, open your Bible, read Scriptures about Jesus, and teach it to your children? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know what I mean. And you got to do it with your spouse sometimes too. Sweetie. You know, my wife won't mind. Sweetie, we're not running off feelings. We're running off the Word. And we've had lots of conversations where we bring it back to Jesus, and my wife says, thank you, honey. Thank you. Amen. And I got accused of not having feelings. Anybody in here know that's bogus? I got feelings, all right. I'm just going to make them work for me, not against me. Amen. Amen. God gave them to me. He designed me to have feelings, but not so the devil could use them against me. Amen. So that he could use them for his cause, for his good, for his glory. Go with me real quick to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I had an interesting experience. I went to a church and I saw them try to put too much into the service. So I don't think we're trying to put too much into the service today. And I'm not going to do that in my message. But this is just a good example of getting people to look to God, to look to Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon, others with them besides the Amorites, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, did I say it right?
No.
First one, chapter 20. Excuse the confusion. Okay, now we're all on the same page. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and from in Hezron Tamar, which is something I can't pronounce. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, notice that, set himself. Everybody say, set himself. Dads, say, set myself. Jehoshaphat set himself. See, he didn't ask everybody else to do something he wasn't willing to. He was leading by example. And as a dad, set myself. Set myself. And Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all of Judea. So Jehoshaphat gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judea and came to seek the Lord. Now what's he getting everybody to do? Who's he pointing them to? God. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, such as sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear, and you will save. I love this. The boldness of Jehoshaphat. The boldness in getting people to focus on God for who he truly is. for who he really is. And there is a faith in this man that trusts God. And he gets everybody looking at God. And now, here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now all Judea, all the little ones, all their wives, all their children stood before the Lord. I just love that. You know what you do when you don't know what to do? Looking unto Jesus. And as a dad, when I always know what to do when I don't know what to do, I always know to look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. You know, he's still authoring your faith. He's still writing. And part of our relationship with Jesus, you know, yeah, we open our Bible and we see Jesus. But the other thing Jesus did is he sent us the Holy Spirit. And so we would run into those situations in life where, you know, which job should I take? Which car should I buy? Da, 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 da. All the different questions that run through our mind. And there's nothing about Ford, Chevys, and Dodge in the Bible. There is Honda, by the way. They were all in one accord. Motorcycles are in the Bible. David's triumphs could be heard throughout the land. Problem is, they didn't have Midas back then. Okay. All right. Some more dad jokes. Anyway, I'm moving on quickly. Hallelujah. But looking. I want to look at one more, and here's where Genesis. We might make it back to Hebrews to quit. You guys doing okay with me? Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 verse 1. Yes, that is correct. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Amen. Because here's something I want to understand as we're getting ready. There are times, and dads in here know it, there are times where God will ask us to do something that isn't comfortable, isn't something that necessarily comes natural to us, doesn't seem to be the norm. And there's times that dads that we have to take a stand, and we have to be strong for our family. And there's a circumstance here, and you know, we're going to just kind of let our hearts and our minds work a little bit. But Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I will tell you." If you're Abraham, what's your first thought maybe? Now let's just do this, because we know Abraham is the father of the faith. But how many of you also know Abraham is a human being who breathed air, who walked this earth and had feelings like you and I do? And you've been blessed with this one son late in life, who came through Sarah, and now God says, "Take your son to where I will show you and sacrifice him." Do you think anything would have gone on inside, perhaps, emotionally? Do you think he might have had somewhat of a good fight of faith to walk out? Do you think the enemy might have tried to bombard him with thoughts? I think so. I think so. And then even Isaac, as you read on farther, and they're there. And, you know, Abraham's in faith. But faith doesn't mean you don't have to fight any battles. You know, Abraham kept going back to a promise. Abraham knew this, that Isaac is through, the inheritance will come through. But I'm quite sure, well, I know this, he had to walk that out and all the things that might come against him. And then they get there and they're ready and they're walking up together. And, you know, Abraham told his servants, we'll be back. We'll be back. But Abraham has every intention of sacrificing Isaac. Yeah, he had faith, but you know, to walk that out. How many dads in here have ever had to talk to your family and share some things that they needed to hear but didn't want to hear? Dads, talk. Talk to your family. Tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Been there, done that. Been there, not done that. Regretted not doing it. Never regretted doing it. Even though there were times when, you know, my kids didn't want to hear. My wife didn't want to hear. And if she was here, she would say, yes, you're right. Amen. Wives, I'd like to make eye contact with every wife today. When your dad is doing his God-given assignment, you back him up. You get behind him. He's wired different than you for a reason. And God is going to require him to do some things that you might find really hard. I remember one time dealing with our younger daughter, Breezy. And just to give you an idea of the context, I had her car keys. I had her cell phone. Can you get the atmosphere in the room at this moment? And Diana is standing behind Breezy. And I can see Diana's face. And she's struggling with the firmness and the strength of her husband. Ladies, when your husband's being firm and when he's being strong, let him. Let him. When you know he's hooked up with God and your emotions would be different than his strength, my wife loves my strength. But it's not born out of an anger. It's not born out of a hate. It's not born out of being mean. It's born out of love. I love my daughters. I love my sons. I am passionate. I have feelings. I will fight for them. And I will tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Amen. So wives, is your man, as being a man of God, back him up. Don't undermine him when he's not around. I've watched that happen. And I've watched divorce as a result of it. Amen. Can I get another amen? Amen. Praise God. Children, when your dad is being dad and doing what God's telling him to do, you're not going to like it. My biggest goal when my kids were growing up was not to be their friend. Caleb and I had a conversation one time. He was about 16 and we were butting heads a little bit. Never butted heads a lot, but a little bit. And I said, Caleb, I don't know what to do. I said, da, 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 da. He says, Dad, I don't want a friend. I want a dad. Cool. You're not going to like that. He goes, I know. I got friends. I got friends. I don't need another friend, Dad. I need a dad. He's smart enough to let me be dad. No wonder he's so awesome. Amen. This is like his brother Vaughn. Remember Jesus when the rich young ruler came to him? What did Jesus do with that rich young ruler? And go to Hebrews 12. Well, I just, as you're going there, what did Jesus do with that rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10? The Bible says, he loved him and said, one thing you still lack, go, sell everything you have. How many of you know Jesus can get to the heart of the matter? And sometimes we don't really want to hear the heart of the matter. Looking unto Jesus. What's Jesus like sometimes? He'll tell you straight. Sometimes dads, we need to tell our children what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Take up the cross and follow me. And the young man went away sad. Catch this. It's so important in today's time. Did Jesus compromise what he said? What did the rich young man do? He walked away. What did he walk away from? Wow. Did he ever come back? I don't know. But what did Jesus do? Jesus stood on what he said. He didn't compromise the word of God to keep that rich young ruler there. Dads, don't compromise the word. Don't compromise what God tells you to do, what Jesus tells you to do. Stand. We've had situations where we had to stand and child left home. Found the note when they were 18. I remember sharing with my daughter, I love you and I will always love you, but I cannot condone where you're going and I cannot go where you're going. That's just it. And for her to pack up her stuff and move out, how do you think that felt for Diana and I? But I wasn't compromising God's word. And Jesus wouldn't compromise his Father's word. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. And his dads, that's tough sometimes, man. But here's where God is so good. When our daughter had moved out, Diana and I went into prayer. And in Hebrews, it talks about a rest. Enter into a rest. Diana and I both entered into a rest for our daughter that lasted 9 months. And the best way I know to describe it is this. We couldn't worry if we wanted to. For Heather. Now that's a rest, you guys. When your child has chosen sin, and you don't compromise the word, and God is so faithful, that after you take your stand with him, he comes and is there. Told our daughter the front door is always open. 9 months later, we get a call. Dad, can you come get me? Be there tomorrow. Do I regret that stand? Not in the slightest. Do I regret the other stand with my youngest daughter? Not in the slightest. And I'd like you to know I have no stories like that concerning my sons. And you guys, that's the truth. So, amen. Amen. I got more to share, but amen. Amen. And amen. Dads, doesn't matter how old your children are, you're still dad. Amen. This doesn't matter. You're still dad. You know, and just short exhortation here at the end. I'm wanting to not miss anything just listening. Wives, let your man make some mistakes because he's gonna. And don't hold them against him. Amen. I've had this year's phrase for years. Leave room for people to make mistakes. Because they will. They will. They do. So leave rooms. Don't beat them up about some mistake they made 10 years ago. Did you forgive them? Okay. Can I say it this way? Then shut up. You know, really, you know, doesn't he forget our sins? Remembers them no more? Doesn't bring them up anymore? Amen. Hallelujah. Dads, you're to be honored even though you don't have your act all together yet. Children, you're to honor your dad even though he messes up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's Father's Day. I want to do something different. Do we have some younger men in the house? Let's see. You know, Sawyer, got you here. Do we have any other younger men? So I might have to get... Okay, all right. Andrew, would you help? And then I'm going to get Caleb and Vaughn to help. Do we have any other younger men here this morning? Luke? Amen. I want to do something. We got 3 trays of candy up here. Okay? And it's not for you guys. It's not for the kids. Come on up. Amen. Isaac's coming too. Awesome. So will you guys grab those 3 trays of candy? I'm kind of, there's, yeah, 2 per tray, 3 per tray. Grab them. Just kind of spread out across here. This is your Father's Day gift. It's no, Vaughn. No. No, they're going to come to you, I think. Come stand right here in the middle, would you? We want to spread this out. There's things in here, but I'd like us to do this. Would all the dads, all the fathers, please stand up? Please stand up. And then, you know, let's see. I got over 50 things up here, huh? You know, you might. And if you're here today, and your father isn't here, your dad isn't here, but you might see him this afternoon, you're free to come up and grab one of these and take it, and go give it to him. But I want to just pray for all of the dads, and then I just invite you dads to come up. Look through these trays. I got a real variety of stuff. Hopefully I found your perfect favorite thing. Amen. But I'd like all the ladies right now to please stand up and get around these men. Go ahead and get around. Get close to one of these men here. Amen. And then, you know, some of you are going to have to slip over and get next to a man, you know, who's a father in this church. And I want to pray for him. Amen. So just reach out a hand to every father here. Amen. We got a hand on him. Hallelujah. And you guys up here, release your faith towards these men, towards these fathers. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for each dad, each father that's in this room and those that are a part of this family who aren't here today. Father, it's a high calling. It's a high calling. It has a huge, a significant outcome. It's gigantic, God. The impact and the privilege that we as fathers get to have on our family. God, it is significant. It actually changes the course of history. And we thank you for that, Father. And we do not take lightly that responsibility, that obligation that you have placed on us. But we thank you for the grace and the strength to do it. You know, we come to you, Jesus. We look to you. We set our face to seek you. And then when we're, as dads, as we're heavy laden, just like Jesus said, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and learn from me, and I will give you rest. And then your yoke will be easy and your burden will be light. Thank you, Father, that yes, it's a magnificent responsibility as a dad. It's a wonderful calling, but it's not something we do apart from you, Jesus. Teach us. In our weaknesses and our shortcomings, thank you for strength and grace. And Father, in the areas where we're better, help us to stay humble. We praise you and worship you and believe you for your goodness on each and every father in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, what I'd like to do is just have the dads, and let's just maybe go in a circle. Like if you're on this side, go.